Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. You've been hearing on the news about the fiscal cliff. It seems like that's all we've heard during the election, after the election, and clear up until 2 days after the bill was signed, and it was so urgent that Obama had to sign it by remote control from Hawaii because he didn't want to stay in Washington long enough to sign it. And everybody is talking about the debt solution and the problems associated with it. And nobody, even though the warnings are coming, even though the bankers know, and they know the solution, because the solution will be coming, and that's why we have a crisis. And, you know, God never wastes a good crisis. You know, it wasn't Rahm Emanuel who thought of that first. And you spell it with a K, and that's judgment. Now, our minds are such, it's very difficult for us to contemplate trillions and trillions and hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of debt. Now, someone told me the difference between money and gold and silver as real money. And the difference is this: gold and silver has no debt behind it, okay? Every dollar bill you have, it says this note, which means it's an IOU. So let's look at some of the debts that we're going to have, okay? So we're going to talk about the economy today. We're going to talk about the different things that are going to happen. And let's break it down this way. Since we are a nation that lives on debt and is in debt, we cannot function without debt. But here's what we have: the national debt, supposedly limited at $16 trillion, but that's going to go up. But that's not really the debt that we have, because you have Social Security, you have Medicare, you have Medicaid, you have all the retirement of all the federal employees to the tunes of hundreds of billions, which then also gets up into the trillions. Add on top of that, the state debt. And California will be probably the first one to go bankrupt. The city debts, the non-governmental entities like municipal water, municipal electricity, okay? Add on top of that, the corporate debt, the bank debts. Now, how many have heard of derivatives? How many know what a derivative is? A derivative is this. It's a bet. It's like an insurance bet. Here's this note for $100 million. So you buy a derivative that in case it goes belly up for $100 million, and you're holding that note, you get paid. So all of these debt instruments that they have out there also have behind them those kind of derivatives. And there are $300 trillion in derivatives, $330 trillion. Now, let's just focus on something we can handle, the federal debt. Paying the interest. Now, the interest is really low. We pay between 1 and 3% interest on it. If you look at what the 30-year bonds are yielding, they're yielding about 3.25 or 3.45%. Okay? That doesn't even keep up with inflation. So if you have your money in government bonds at 30-year bonds and you're getting 3.5% and inflation is 5%, you're losing 1.5% every year. Okay. Now, you can only do that for so long. Now, just to show you what the banking situation is, I was calculating the other day. Now, our accounts and the church accounts are over here across the street in the bank right now that is called the Santa Barbara Bank and Trust. Before that, it was called the San Benito Bank. Okay? Before that, we had it in the First National Bank over, First Interstate Bank in Gilroy. And then that was sold to the United California Bank. And then that was taken over by the South Valley Bank. And then the South Valley Bank was taken over by the Union Bank. And now the Union Bank is taking over San Benito Bank, or the Santa Barbara Bank and Trust Company. And that's just during the time of the length of time that we've had an account for Christian Biblical Church of God. Six banks. So it shows you the instability of the banking situation. Now, have you ever had a credit card where you got behind on the payment? Or have you ever had a credit card where you were paying the minimum? Now, if you have a credit card and you get a statement, read it carefully, and it will tell you that if you pay just the minimum, it's going to take you so many years to pay off this balance, and the total amount is going to be so much, which is about, most of the time, double or triple of the amount that you charged. Okay, that's just on the minimum. So what we are paying on all the things that we owe just for the federal government, we're paying the interest only, or the minimum. We're not retiring any debt. Now, in 2012, guess how much of the $3.4 trillion income coming in goes just to service the debt? You can't change it. You can't vote it away. That comes first. $360 billion just for the interest on existing debt. Now, when you have to borrow, which we do, to pay the debt, because we're borrowing $1.4 trillion in addition to the $3.4 trillion coming in, when you have to borrow to pay the interest rate, you are compounding the debt at an escalating rate that is almost unbelievable. It would be like, I don't know about you, but I have a half a dozen credit cards. I always keep them at zero. Whatever I charge on it during the course of the month, bang, it's paid off for me and also for the church. And the church has no debt. We don't charge anything except expenses for visiting and traveling and things like that, which is paid off at the end of the month. All right, let's look at it this way. In addition to that, not counting paying this $360 billion on interest, we have promises to pay for retirement, for Social Security, $87 trillion. Now, that's not counting any of the states. California alone has close to $300 billion in retirement. You see, this is what happened when they let the unions run the government. To give you an example, in New York City, a fireman retires after 25 years of service, and his retirement is average $120,000 a year. Okay, now, how much would it take to pay off that $87 trillion in unfunded liabilities? Take all the income of all Americans and multiply it by 10, and all of it would go to pay it off. Now, you understand why they want inflation? Because before everything collapses, they can take the inflated paper dollars and they can pay for it. Now, let's add a little more to it. Let's see what we can come up with. Okay? It says here, a significant and substantial rise in GDP would help for sure, because we're beyond the point of growing the economy out of debt. You can't do that now. The speed and scale of debt utterly overwhelms any feasible growth plan. What we are facing is this. Unless we make changes, by 2055, interest cost will be the only thing that the United States will be able to pay with available revenues and resources. Be no government services, be no Social Security, be no child care, all of those things. That's just that. Now, if they could grow the economy, then they could do somewhat about it if it weren't so much. But I've got a report here, 19 facts about the deindustrialization of America that will blow your mind. It is really a tremendous thing. Now, where is all the industrial going? China and the Far East. Even Europe suffers a great deal from this. Just one little side note. In 2008, there were 1.2 billion cell phones sold worldwide. How many were made in America? Zero. That also tells you, and we'll talk a little bit about some of these things in prophecy, okay? So I won't read all the things here, but factories are closing, and raising the taxes as they just did will close more factories. So we are at a point. You see, the thing is this. Once a nation rejects God and doesn't repent and come back to God, then they will reach a point where there is no solution to anything. Now, what I just talked about here was just economics. Okay? Let's look at some other problems we have. What's going to happen in religion? We talk a little bit what happens in government. What's going to happen in the society? What about the drugs? What about the obsession with sex? What about violence? See, when you have a society that is living at a time where lawlessness is multiplied, then you virtually have to have a policeman loaded with guns in nearly every place. Otherwise, how are you going to solve the problem? Okay? Now, let's look at something here. I've got another report. 18 member group of central bankers conducting global economics. And they are. What is happening is no accident. What is happening is being planned. For what? Coming mark of the beast. Someone wrote me an email and asked me, what about our money in the bank if the dollar collapses and they bring in a global currency? I don't know what'll happen. I don't know if they're going to give any value equivalency in your account, but everything we have now is virtually all digital and can all be taken just like that. So the only way to bring in the mark of the beast, which is a buying and selling, it is not Sunday keeping. Anyone who says that the mark of the beast is Sunday keeping does not have a clue as to what's going on in the world today. And yet, there are some churches that teach it, even some churches of God. All right, let's come here to Deuteronomy 28. And let's think about this just a little bit. Think of all the things that have been done to defy God. Let's see what God says. Deuteronomy 28, and let's pick it up here in verse 41. As I've said before, you do well to read it. Question was asked, whatever happened to our gold in Fort Knox? They're wondering. Pay very careful attention to the History Channel whenever they run a program on where is the gold in Fort Knox. All of those pictures are at least 50 years old. Now then, they have also discovered that has been sold on the bullion market. Now, the bullion market is these big bars of gold, and they're supposed to be pure gold. And they have tried to fake those gold bars, and they never could until they discovered that titanium comes within a couple hundredths of a fraction of a difference between its dead weight and gold's dead weight. And so there are reports out there circulating that I have read, which that some governments, now, don't know which one, you know, are governments honest? Which one? None. That they made titanium bars and put 1/4 inch overlay of solid gold on them, and they weighed perfectly, just a smidge less. Now, if we're the ones who did it, and if the Chinese are the ones who bought it, you need to think about what kind of retaliation may in the future be coming. So there are many things working. Not only do we have the economics, we have everything to do with what is said here in Deuteronomy 28. And I remember a saying by a Christian Jew. They put out, he was a rabbi for a Christian Jewish group, and he put out a magazine titled Christian Jew. And he was writing to his Jewish brethren, and he said, "Brethren, please remember this, while we all want the blessings of God, which we do, and we want to read the things that are good and uplifting, which we do," he said, "please remember, half of the promises of God and all the promises of God are sure, are curses and penalties. You can't avoid it." Some people say, "Oh, you shouldn't talk about that." All right. What's going to happen if you never talk about it and it slams you in the face? What's going to happen when you wake up one day and you turn on your television and you find out that all of the banks have devalued the money and you now have 1 for 10 in your bank account, and yet your rent stays the same, and you have to take the 10% money and pay the 100% rent, and you never get the 100% money from the 10% money to pay the rent. Simple math. Remember this: liars figure, but figures never lie. Okay? So Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, granted, are the most gruesome and depressing parts of the Bible. But those are there as warnings to people. And today, with everyone having a Bible, no one can say, "Well, God, you never warned me." Well, did you have a Bible? Well, yes. Did you read it? No. Well, I got you the Bible there, regardless of who brought it to you or how you bought it. But if you don't read it and you don't understand what I said, don't blame me. Because if you want all the blessings, and I've said over and over again, people want the blessings of God without the obedience to God, and that is the heart and core of the entitlement mentality. They have the same attitude toward the government. We want all of the benefits. We want all of the things to serve us. But we are unwilling to send you a penny. Same thing with God. God gives plenty of warnings, plenty of warnings, plenty of warnings. Remember the sermon I did concerning why Sandy? Well, it hit the states right there in the Northeast that are in the top 10 of the abortion. California has the highest actual number of abortions, and I need to bring a sermon on that. Guess how many of those murderous abortions take place every year here in California right now? 214,000. That's a lot of judgment. Remember, God is the blood avenger. That's why I said, and I did a three-part why the Connecticut massacre for church at home. And Connecticut is right up there. See? Remember, God is the blood avenger. He's going to avenge the blood of every murder, every abortion, every war, every martyrdom of the saints and the prophets. And that's all being saved for the end time, for Babylon the Great. You can read the last two verses of Revelation 18. So here, let's see what's happening, because all of this comes as a process. Verse 41, Deuteronomy 28. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them. Anybody have happy families today? Very few. What do they get involved in? All kinds of things, don't they? Sex and drugs and everything like that. They don't receive enough education so they can have a decent job. Now, there are some few who get out and really work and apply themselves. That's good. Okay? For they shall go into captivity. Now, you don't have to be sent off to a camp to be in captivity. You can be taken captive by sex, drugs, pleasure, all of those things that you become captive to and are obsessed with. All your trees and the fruit of your land the locust shall possess, so that's coming. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high. Now, how is the stranger doing that? Okay, he's doing it in banking. He's doing it in production. It's like I read of all the cell phones, none are made here. That's how they're high above us. How about the drug lords from South America and East Asia and Sicily? Are they above us because they sell drugs and people take them? Yes, they do. Do they take money? Yes, they do. See? And you shall come down very low. Now look at the difference. If we believe the word of God to be true, which it is, and it's going to happen, which it will, that's going to take place. But it is a process, as I have covered before. And I'm giving this sermon because everyone wants to know, well, what's going to happen in the new year? Well, maybe you will wish it was last year. Who knows? Verse 44, he shall lend to you, and you shall not loan to him. And that turnaround was in 1983. We were the largest creditor nation in the world to that time, and we began becoming a debtor nation at that time. It's like everything else that takes place. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, incrementally. Add some here. Bring a catastrophe there. You know, how would we handle it if we say we had 5 hurricanes hit this nation within a period of 3 months? How would we handle it? How could we pay for it? You know what they said on the House of Representatives floor before they voted the $9 billion to help out the people in New Jersey and New York and those states up there in the Northeast for flood relief? They said the federal flood insurance program is broke and is in debt. And whoever the representative was said, we have no money. And we borrow how much every day? $4 billion. Billion. Every single day. And we have an administration that is facilitating the destruction of America, adding to it. We have a Federal Reserve that is now pledged to keep this charade going until the collapse comes. Because, you see, all of the bankers want the collapse to come at once everywhere. Because they would not be able to bring in a global currency unless it happened all at once everywhere. Okay? Federal Reserve is pledged to buy, meaning we send a note to the president to sign to produce $85 billion worth of printed money every month. Now, when you understand the Federal Reserve is an international bank, independent and separate from the government, and their books cannot be audited. Okay? Are they bringing us low? Think about that every day. I think about that every time I enjoy something at home that all I have to do is open a cupboard door or pull out a drawer or flick on a switch or turn on my computer. I think, my, all those things. What a blessing that is. But God also says here, he shall be the head and you shall be the tail. And all these curses shall come on you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Because, here's the cause. None of the causes are being addressed. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. So unless there's a great repentance of an unheard of magnitude, there will be no turning that around. Person going to say, well, I never heard the voice of God. Why would God do this to me? Because everything that is in the Bible is the voice of God, written by the men he instructed to write it. Everything. Don't look upon it as another book that men wrote. Like I've said many times, all these educated elite and how good they are and how they can get rid of God and everything like that, and they trash the Bible and say it was written by men and it's old and it's outdated. Where did they get their education? Where did they go to school? Who wrote the books they read that they believe as their philosophies and their religions? Were they not men? Were they honest and trustworthy like the ones who God inspired to write the Bible? I doubt it. Now notice, verse 46, and they shall be on you for a sign and a wonder and on your seed forever. So this just doesn't end with the covenant with Israel, because the covenant with Israel goes back to Abraham. Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. See, when we all understand that everything that we have, everything that we are, we live and move and have our being in him. See, there's nothing to get exalted about. There's nothing to get depressed about, but to have faith and trust and love for God and each other. See, there it is. Verse 47 tells you the cause. Okay? Two things. Did not obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes. And for the abundance of everything that you did receive, you weren't joyful or thankful. So, verse 48. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies. Now, how does that start? By paying more taxes to pay to the enemy that loaned us the money. Whatever money goes to that, you're serving your enemy. See, which the Lord your God shall send against you, and this will come. And this will come suddenly. In hunger, in thirst, and in nakedness, and in the want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord shall bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance who shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your land, until you are destroyed. He shall not leave you grain, wine, or oil, neither the increase of your livestock or flocks of your sheep, until he has destroyed you. And he shall besiege you within all your gates. And do we not have the enemy within our gates? Within our gates? And how long would it take them to come through the border on the south? They could come by tens of thousands every day, and nothing could hold it back. Yes, throughout all your land, besiege you within your gates, which the Lord your God has given you. Okay, now those are some pretty difficult words to live by. But nevertheless, remember, let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter, and while we're turning there, remember what God told Ezekiel. And Ezekiel had the toughest message of any of the prophets to give. I mean, you read the book of Ezekiel, he had it really, really tough. Anyone want to be a prophet? Isaiah, the first chapter. See? Let's see what God says. Okay, he says here, verse 2, and notice how many times does God say heaven and earth? What did Jesus say concerning the law and prophets? Heaven and earth will pass away, but the law and prophets will not pass away, okay? What did God say when he gave to Israel the covenant and said, I set before you this day life and good, death and evil, blessing and cursing? Said, therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. Okay? And he said, by heaven and earth. So here, whenever you read where God says, hear, O heaven, the only thing that is higher than that is Genesis 22. Remember, after Abraham got done offering his son Isaac, and then the angel intervened, what did God say? He said, I swear by myself that in blessing I will bless and in cursing I will curse. So here we have, O heaven, one degree less than by God himself. Give ear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have reared up and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And then he lists all the things that they do. Now, just to give you an example, the other night I got up, and we've recently upgraded our cable at home so we can get the phone cheaper and everything like that and save some money with that. And we got some upgraded channels too. So now, instead of 50 channels to channel through, we have 100. So I woke up and I thought, well, I'm awake and I'm not ready to go to sleep. This was like about 11:30, quarter to 12. So I started thumbing through with channel 2, the first one. And I went through every one. Now, I've got a lot of them blocked because I know what's on them, and I don't want those coming into our house. Okay. But they had everything there that is absolutely incredible. Now, there's some good information. See? And in order for God to get his witness to the world, to everyone, which he's going to do with all the high-tech things that we have, no one is going to say, oh, Lord, I never heard. He's going to make it available. Every evil is there. And I saw at least 4 programs on seeking demons, ghost programs. I flicked right through them. I just read the title, see, and flicked to the next station. Then I flicked to one which was showing gruesome murders. And there was this quick flash of a person with a hacksaw cutting off the head of another person while he was still alive. And this is on television for people to watch. And I couldn't help but think what Jesus said. From within, out of the hearts of men, come evil thoughts and adultery and fornication and murders and thefts and covetousness. And there it was, just pouring out right on the video waves, if I could put it that way, for all and any to hear. So God has made the judgment. If you want sin, I'll give you plenty of it. But you know I'm going to judge for it. And I tell you this, that if the ministers in the churches of the world, and there are some who are giving warnings, that's good that they are. But if those of us in the Church of God do not give warnings, we better read Ezekiel 33, because God says, their blood is on you. So we have to be upfront with it. We cannot back away and hope for better times. It's like the person who is waiting for the hurricane to come, and it's delayed, and it's calm, and it didn't get there when they said it would come. And he's hoping, well, everything will be all right. I wrote out the last one. Well, this time when it happened, there was a man and his daughter who stayed back, no longer here. And that's what happens when people reject God. Look at the whole world. Just take a globe and look at it. Spin it around. Where's their joy? Where's their peace? Where's their happiness? And even within the church, we have to struggle for that because we have to keep our bearings to know what is right and wrong and good and evil and how we have to work and struggle to stay right with God and understand what we need to understand, okay? So he said, verse 4, "Ah, sinful nation of people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward." And God said it so bad there, he says in verse 5, "Why would you be stricken anymore? Why do you want it any worse?" And I saw this one program about this heroin addict, thin, racked with pain and craving and needing the heroin. And she had used so many veins, there was no place left to stick the needle in to get it to go. And yet there she was, futilely trying, you know, putting the band around her arm and hope that a blood vessel will come up. But her body was all racked and ruined because of heroin. And I thought to myself, why continue? That's what God says of us. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Your country is a desolation, and that is coming. Your cities are burned with fire, and that is coming. Strangers devour your land right in your very presence, and that is happening. And it is wasted and as overthrown by strangers. Now, whenever God comes down really hard like that, he gives us a little encouragement. Come down here to verse 9. "Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant." Now, those are the people of the churches of God. A very small remnant. And I'm sure that in society, there are people out there that are not giving themselves over to evil and wickedness. And God also notices and understands that. And God will also deal with them likewise. Okay? "Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom, we would have become like Gomorrah." So then God says, the only solution is repentance. There's no other solution. Voting isn't going to change it. Look at all the polls that said, oh, Romney's going to win in a landslide. Uh-huh. Sure did, didn't he? Everyone thought, oh, hallelujah, that will save us. No, it didn't. Only God can save us, see? All right, let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll be right back.